You are listening to the Hearing Health Hour with Chris Seremba here on Marlowe FM.
Good morning, Cassie.
Good morning, Chris.
That's much, much better. How are you today?
I'm very well, thank you. Very well, and you?
Yeah, very well indeed, thank you.
Good.
So this is, I'm assuming this is your first time on Marlowe FM, is it?
Yeah, Marlowe FM, first time on radio, actually. Very nervous, but I'm sure you'll make me very calm and...
Well, we'll try. We'll try, so if not, we'll make you a cup of coffee.
And that's it, that sounds good.
maybe that will help. So you joined us every month on Good Morning Marlowe. We have a Hearing Health Hour where we look at topics related to hearing, lots of topics related to anything to do with hearing, wax, hearing aids, tinnitus,
yeah.
Anything linked to hearing, partially because I have hearing difficulties myself.
Okay.
And also we like to promote it, helping people who have issues with hearing to go and see an audiologist.
Yeah.
What got you involved in hearing? So hearing is your profession, is your job up at Aston Hearing in Tame. Why did you get into hearing?
So before I qualified to be a nurse, I worked in an outpatients at Stoke Mandeville Hospital working alongside the ear, nose and throat consultants. And particularly one ear consultant that I spent a lot of time with, and I used to watch him performing wax removal and performing Epley manoeuvres for people that came in with dizziness. And yeah, the wax removal really interested me. It got me gripped, really.
So what exactly is wax removal?
So we use a microscope to look into the ear canal, and we use the tiny little Hoover that sucks all the wax out. It's very clean and dry procedure. It's a little bit noisy, but it's very easy.
Right. Why do we have earwax? I mean, what is the function in the body of generating earwax?
So the natural secretions from oil and sweat glands. Earwax is generally made in the outer part of the ear canal, just at the entrance to the ear, and then naturally the skin in our ears should shed like a snake, just like a snake migrating down the ear canal. And so the earwax is there actually as a natural protection, and it's got antibacterial qualities to it.
It's very important
that we have earwax, really.
I didn't realise either of those things. It's natural protection for you, and keeps out impurities as well.
Yeah. It's very important to keep the earwax there. We want a little layer of earwax just around the entrance to protect your ears from dust getting in there. And so naturally, the natural migration of the skin in the ears, the skin should shed like a snake, like I was saying earlier, and it should pick up all the dust and dirt moving down the ear canal, picking up the wax from the entrance to the ear, and whilst you're chewing and talking, that's kind of loosening everything off, and then the earwax should just drop out on its own naturally. That's the natural ear cleaning process.
So there's a little bit of a balance, isn't there? You want some earwax, but
yeah,
not too much, because
not too much.
What you do is earwax removal, which is presumably when there's too much wax.
Yes.
How do people know when there's too much wax?
So obviously our hearing can reduce, or you know, can just go all of a sudden. One morning you might just wake up and you can't hear. Naturally, it should come back throughout the day. If as you're chewing, you should get a little hole. So if it kind of comes and goes, then you will know that that is probably a blockage of wax.
And if somebody suspects they might have earwax because there's a slight blockage in their ears, perhaps, or their hearing has suddenly dropped a little bit in terms of quality, would they come and see you? Or I guess it's not available at GP surgery, is it?
No, unfortunately, GPs don't do ear irrigation anymore.
Irrigation is what it's called.
Irrigation, yeah. Right. So, pop along to... You could give us a ring. Some clinics do pop-in clinics that there's clinicians that can have a look in your ears, just check for any wax. We're also on high alert because we can get a sudden loss of hearing. So just come into one of our clinics and we can get you seen.
So we were just talking about the fact that this is a service that is not available at the GP anymore. Maybe it used to be in the past, but certainly isn't anymore. Are some people trying to turn to DIY alternatives?
Yes. So a lot of people have been buying things online. I mean, when you're on Facebook, Instagram, there's always something popping up about, you know, or remove your wax. And there are lots of different things out there which are quite frightening to me. Little kind of corkscrew appliances that people insert and screw into the wax to pull out. These are all really quite dangerous tools to be using in the ear. The old-fashioned hair grips people come in saying they use.
Hair grips,
yeah.
Gosh, that would... something that small and that pointed, yeah, and that jagged at the end would be, ooh, scary.
It's quite scary, exactly. And I've seen, when I worked in hospital, a lot of damaged ears, perforated eardrums.
That's the main risk of doing something yourself, is,
yes,
and sticking a cotton bud in your ear, for example, is perforated,
yeah,
eardrum.
Cotton buds, so they're more likely to just push, compact everything further down the ear canal, and they are actually ruining the natural migration of that skin pattern that I was talking about earlier. So many people come in saying they've never used a cotton bud, but you know, us clinicians do know, because there's clearly no wax on the outer edge. It's all just pushed down the bottom of the ear canal. And very often, you know, maybe once a week, once a fortnight, we're fishing out cotton buds from people's ears because they can come off in the ear canal.
And the end bit of the cotton bit of the cotton bud comes off. Well, that's a bit unpleasant, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not very pleasant. And sometimes that can sit there for months and months before people realise it's in there, and then they've got a full-blown infection.
So they can really cause harm by doing that kind of thing?
They can do, yeah.
Wow, and something I didn't know about that at all. Is there anything that people can do for themselves related to earwax and earwax removal?
So naturally, sometimes people can get quite dry skin, and that's why it's not migrating, and that's why it's blocking the ear canal. So I often say using a little drop of olive oil every couple of weeks, not overdoing it, just gently moisturising the ear canal, can sometimes help that natural migration. But generally, if you do start feeling blocked up, the worst thing to do is probably putting a load of olive oil in, because that's just going to expand everything, and it's going to just pour all that wax straight, sticky, stuck over the eardrum.
Right.
So it'll block you up even more.
Yeah, I can imagine adding oil to wax is not the...
It's not the ideal answer. Some clinicians do ask for a week of olive oil before they come in to have wax removal. In our clinics, we advise to use olive oil 1 to 2 days before, just to soften it off enough, but not to soften it off too much that it's just a sticky mess in there, because it's no good for the client, because they're just blocked up and the microsuction finds it quite difficult to remove that kind of wax.
But people shouldn't do that by experimenting on their own. They should be doing that
when told by a clinician
at an audiologist.
Yes.
Then that's the kind of thing that should be done.
Yeah, definitely.
We have an email coming in from Eleanor. Eleanor, good morning. Thank you very much for listening. And your question to Cassie is, Eleanor is not sure whether she's got earwax or not, although she has noticed a decline in the quality of her hearing. Should she go and see somebody like you to go and have that checked?
Yes, definitely, Eleanor. I would say if you would ring one of our clinics, there's Help in Hearing in Marlow or Farnham Common, and there's one in Henley. If you give them a call, I'm sure they'd be happy to see you in clinic, just to identify if it's wax or if there is a general hearing loss.
Right, and the determination on whether it's wax, is that a fairly quick thing to make a determination on?
Yes, so our clinicians will use either an otoscope to have a look in the ears, or we do have otocams, which will allow the patient to see into the ear canal itself.
And they're little cameras that actually show on the screen, and the patient can actually look at the camera as well, look at the screen as well, and see the image being generated by the camera, can't they?
Yeah, it's always very interesting for the client to actually see what's in their ear and see their eardrum.
Because
they've never seen it before. No.
So, Eleanor, that's the answer. So go and find an audiologist. There's several around, and they will do a quick determination about whether you have earwax or not. And if you have, they can possibly even remove it at that same time, or would that be a subsequent appointment?
Yeah, they would probably need to make another appointment to remove the wax. Yeah.
Right, fantastic. Ellen, I hope that answers your question. If you have a follow-up question, then you know what to do. Get back in touch, studio@marlowefm.co.uk. So, another question. Your job title is a clinical ear care specialist.
Yes.
What does that actually mean? I mean, what is your background and how did you get into that style of work?
My background is... I'm a registered general nurse, and like I say, before I trained to be a nurse, I worked alongside ENT, and the ENT consultant always said, you know, once you've qualified, go work on the wards for a few years, get lots of experience, and then come back and see us. So that's what I did, really. I went and worked at Wickham Hospital on the general medical wards, and then I switched to community nursing for 10 years. So I was a district nurse working in the Tame area for 10 years. I also did a bit of stoma care nursing, and then Aston Hearing were looking for a clinical ear care practitioner for one day a week.
Is that limited to wax removal, or is that advising on other forms of hearing correction?
So it's just pure clinical ear care that would be, right. Until you did your hearing
exams.
Health assistance,
yeah.
And then you can progress on to hearing aid,
right.
How to repair hearing aids, and taking basic hearing tests as well.
Right.
Yeah. So I started at Aston Hearing one day a week doing...
How long ago was that?
That was 6 years ago.
Right.
And then because there wasn't very many ear care nurses in the area, I was being asked by lots of different locations to come and work for them. And I said to Aston Hearing, why don't you take me on full time? And here I am today, 6 years later. Three very busy clinics, so
right.
There is a definite need for clinical ear care within our area.
I mean, do you work in just one of those clinics, or do you move around?
So I just work in the Tame practice. I have done lots of moving around, but Tame's where I live, so it's much handier for me.
But the same services available.
The same services are
in all the clinics.
In all the clinics, yeah. And all our, I mean, my background's nursing, and our other clinical ear care practitioners are all healthcare workers.
Right.
So they all have, healthcare background.
And you obviously love it since you're there 6 years
yeah.
into it, and you've upgraded from one day a week up to more higher number of days per week, I presume.
Yeah, I love my job. It's really not a job to me. It's really, helping people. Hearing is incredible. We have
yeah.
some patients coming into clinic who are really, really upset and very stressed with it, isolated from their families. And the moment that wax clears, their face changes completely. They're beaming and they're just ecstatic that they can hear everything again.
That's fantastic. Is that the best part of your job, when somebody suddenly thinks, oh gosh, I can hear things I
yeah.
couldn't hear before?
Yeah, incredibly.
Or do they come back to you a few days later and say, I heard birdsong today, first
yeah.
time for ages?
Yeah, definitely. Birdsong is the first thing that they notice, and then they notice the ticking of the car, that there's something wrong, that there's, they haven't heard for a long time. Or it's incredible, and we get lots of, emails and thank yous. Few days later, we have I'm able to see children, so we have a lot of children that go back to school and say, "Mummy, I can hear my friends," and just their teachers are really happy that they can hear what they're saying. So yeah.
So does the build-up of earwax apply to all ages?
Yeah.
So people can do it again. What's the youngest patient you would have to have an earwax removal?
So my youngest clients that I see are 4 years of age, and they have to be able to sit very still, obviously, throughout the procedure, but generally our four-year-olds are very well behaved. So
if they know enough to realise it's going to help them hear, they probably will
exactly.
know enough that sitting still is probably a good idea.
That's it. And they get a sticker afterwards, which they're always pleased with.
Things will do anything.
They'll do anything for
a
sticker.
I'll do anything for a sticker myself. So one sort of final question in this bout is, how much does the service cost? So how much do you charge for an earwax removal? Or maybe break that down into two ways. If there's an initial assessment, do you need it or not?
Yeah.
And then how much for the earwax removal itself?
So for an ear review, just come in and have a look. So generally, everyone makes a wax removal appointment. Once they come into clinic, it's £85 for wax removal. If there is no wax and there's no wax for us to remove, then it would be a consultation fee of £45. Generally, people come in because they're not able to hear, so we do look at the ear, see what other complications could be causing them not to be able to hear. They can have eustachian tube dysfunction, children with glue ear. We, with our camera and other tools, we can do tympanometry readings, which is checking the pressures in the middle ear. It would give them the client more of an understanding as to what's going on. So that would probably be £45.
Right, and presumably all, I think audiologists is the correct term for the profession. Do all audiologists company offer the same kind of service?
A lot of audiologists, high street audiology, some clinics run a once a week wax removal clinic, which is always very, very busy. Our competitors are only there 1 to 2 days a week, so that's the beauty of our clinic. We have got wax removal 5 days a week, be it maybe not in Marlow, but it might be in Farnham Common, or it might be over in Amersham. So you will be able to get an appointment much quicker.
So Cassie, you're talking about appointments that you have for earwax removal. Can you always get all the wax out in one appointment, or sometimes is it several appointments? Is it divided by ear, for example?
Yeah, everybody's ear is different. Lots of people that come into our clinic, they might have a very narrow ear canal. So if that wax is very hard, it might be hard to get it out in one go. Most clients, we do get the wax out the first time, but there might be on occasions that the wax is a little bit hard or a little bit stuck onto the eardrum. So we might need them to put a little bit of oil in or to let it migrate out away from the eardrum, just to be safe, really. We'd rather, bring people back and ensure that we get all the wax out that we need to safely.
Right. And if you have earwax in one ear, is it likely to have it in any other ear as well, or can it just be a one-sided thing?
It can be a one-sided thing. Generally, most clients come in because they've got one blocked ear and they say the other ear is fine, but that ear is also, jam-packed, but there might be a little hole that sound waves can get through that, they haven't noticed that it feels blocked. But on the occasion there is, it might just be one ear that is... It constantly builds up, and the other ear is fine.
So it can be either. It can be both ears, or it can just be one ear. If it's just one ear, is it likely to be reoccur only in that same one ear, or can it spread?
It's more than likely that it will just happen in that ear the time.
You have a tendency to catch it in that one ear. Yeah,
I do have clients come back, and it just be that ear all the time.
Fascinating. You talked about the process of examining the ear through an otoscope, and for example, and the otocam. You also talked about the process of extracting the wax, but we haven't mentioned, is it painful? I've never had it done, so I don't know. Is it painful to get earwax extracted?
It really shouldn't be painful.
What does it sound like when it
happens? So it's lots of popping and crackling as the wax goes up the tube.
Right.
It's a little motorized suction pipe, so it's sucking all the wax up. A lot of people say it tickles or itches more than anything. It shouldn't be painful. If it's painful, it's just not being done right, really. I always say to my patients, if you feel any pain or discomfort, to let me know and I'll stop.
Right.
Yeah.
So it should feel a bit weird because it's popping
and
crackling.
It's going to be a little bit strange.
So it should feel weird but not painful.
Yes, yeah. But a lot of people say it's a good, strange feeling.
I can imagine that. I suppose if you've got clients down to sort of age 4 years old, as you were saying before, I mean, if they're going to complain about something, they're going to complain when they're 4 years old.
They're going to let you know.
Yeah.
That's it.
Unless you be quiet, you won't get your sticker.
Yeah.
That's what... that's right, time for a few more questions or with my guest, who is Cassie Quigley from Aston Hearing. We're talking about earwax removal, and I suppose one thing we could talk about, we've talked about the process, but how often do people need to do it? So if you have earwax that needs removing, does that mean you have a tendency to create earwax or surplus earwax? We've already talked about the fact that having some earwax is a great idea, but you have a tendency to build up a higher amount of earwax than is optimal. And so how often should people go back for a retreatment?
So like I was saying earlier, if you have very dry skin, eczema in your ears, lots of people have quite hairy ears, so the wax can build up quite quickly. Hearing aid wearers also, because they're putting their hearing aid domes into their ears, they might be pushing all that wax and dry skin further in, so they obviously need it a little bit more often. Generally, I say to people, once they've been, to go and get their ears checked after a year to see how much wax has built up. Most of the time, they probably will have quite a lot of wax in there, but it's not to the point that it's blocking their hearing up. So I would suggest a year to 18 months to get them checked, really.
Right.
And some people, you know, have it once and never come back. So it is... It's different for everybody, but I would always get it checked after about a year and a half.
Right. Do you ever get cases where people have got hearing aids because their hearing was bad, but they didn't realise the only reason their hearing was bad was because they had surplus earwax? And then they come into you, take the hearing aids out, go for the earwax treatment and say, gosh, I don't need these hearing aids anymore. Yeah. Does that ever happen?
It happens a lot. A lot of people come in saying their hearing aids aren't working, or, you know, they've had a sudden drop in their hearing, and it is because they have got a lot of compacted wax in there. And these clients maybe had never had wax removal before, but it is, you know, the times that you're chewing and you're eating and the times that your wax should be dropping out is in the daytime. And that's when you've got your hearing aids in. So it's just keeping all that wax in. So once we've removed all that debris, they're back to hearing beautifully again.
Oh, that's fascinating. I've learned so much about earwax in the past hour or so with you, Cassie. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Can you tell me just a little bit more about Aston Hearing and where people can find you? Maybe you have the website as well, and also your link with the Help in Hearing people.
Yeah, so we've got Aston Hearing have three clinics, one in Amersham, one in Saunderton, and one in Tame. We also have our sister company is Help in Hearing, and they are in Marlow, Henley, and Farnham Common. Yes.
Brilliant. And you can find those, look up both Aston Hearing and Help in Hearing, look them up online.
Look them up online,
and
you'll
find out where it is. So once again, Cassie, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you very much for having me. Thank you.
You are listening to the Hearing Health Hour with Chris Seremba here on Marlow FM.